Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Shot Podcast. Here with you for another week. I'm Joe Dyer, and I'm joined by Charles Firth.
Hello.
And by Dave Milner.
G'day.
And unfortunately not today by Grace Tame, who is both unwell and en route to the various places where there is always demand to hear from Grace Tame. So we're lucky to have her when we get her.
I thought you were going to say en route to the various places that want to get COVID.
Does she have COVID or she just had to test? I think there was some discussion that she may get it. And in fact, Jim Chalmers has got COVID at the moment. He's isolating up at his home in Brisbane, I learned yesterday. So the wave continues.
Yeah, the interest rate in COVID has increased.
Yes, no plateauing for COVID.
Yeah. So shall we talk about the elephant in the room?
The elephant in the room, which is the fact that the Liberal Party cannot win an election anywhere across this nation of ours at the moment, from now and potentially into the future, I say.
Yeah, I'm looking into this at the moment. I have theories on why. But we are talking about a really historic losing streak from, you know, Queensland in 2020, then South Australia, WA, Victoria, federally, New South Wales. The last remaining holdout is Tasmania. And what they have is a perception problem. And that perception problem is that in large parts of Australia, they are perceived accurately.
And that, of course, is a major problem for them.
No, it really is. Like, there's lots of discussion at the moment about demographic shifts and changing attitudes and old people dying and young people growing up. And the point, I think, is that's a little horse before the cart, because all those things are inevitable. They were always going to happen. The actual problem is what they stand for and how fucking shit they are. Like, that is the problem. Everything else is just the way things were always going to be.
But wasn't the point also that Scott Morrison's approach exposed them? He was sort of very open about being horrible to people, you know. And so, therefore, whereas they always sort of had this veneer of, well, actually, we're the adults in the room, you know, and secretly they'd be shoveling money to their mates in business or whatever.
Although, you know, it's hard to think of Tony Abbott ever as being an adult in any room at all. Although he did purport to be, it's true, and he did come off that base of, you know, the Labor Party having tantrums and ego fits and behaving generally appallingly and wasting their last term, not just their last term in office, but their last series of governments with Rudd-Gillard. So it was coming off a low base to say, look, we won't do that, so we'll be adult. Of course, they then did do that, but they were elected on the promise of not having that revolving door. But I think now you're right, Dave, is that whatever veneer they were able to hide behind, and I think we all know that a lot of this can be traced back to John Howard, we might get into that, there was still this sort of reassuring conventionality about, you know, suburban accountant John Howard that we certainly didn't see with weird, happy-clappy Pentecostal, overtly, explicitly, proudly, brazenly corrupt.
No, this is entirely Scott right. Morrison. So it isn't – you're right. It is. This is why I mentioned it's a perception problem, because they haven't changed all that much. What's changed is our ability to see them accurately. And I was just fascinated – this is in the wake of the Aston by-election on the weekend. And David Spears wrapped up his coverage by saying no one saw this coming – as the thing that's been happening a lot kept happening. And the point is, the Liberal Party is really only viable in media land, where they are buttressed by the myth that they are superior economic managers and that they're not monsters. In the real world, we've seen, like, I'm 38. My entire lifetime, I've seen them lie about throwing refugees in the water to win elections. I've seen them perpetuate fossil fuels and climate denial for 3 decades. I have seen them ruin our internet. I have not seen them do a good thing. And I keep being told that they're the adults and that they are, you know, reasonable and moderate. And it's just so disjointed from the reality that we've all witnessed with our own eyes now. It doesn't wash anymore.
No, I think it's right. And it used to be, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I was always told that, you know, people would get, they might be kind of nice and progressive in their youth, but as they got older, they were going to become more conservative. Although, interestingly, actually, around Aboriginal affairs in particular, as a certain cohort of relatively conservative white fellas got older, they're more inclined, apparently, or they were more inclined to embrace reconciliation. But generally speaking, people would get more conservative as they got older if they had more wealth to protect. And that isn't happening anymore. As the people in their 20s move into their 30s and their 40s, whether it's because their adulthood is in some ways, their, you know, wealth accumulation is vanishingly small or happening so much later anyway, or because, you know, Australia is actually just becoming a more civil place despite what the coalition may be trying to do with this, that is not happening. And so Labor and Independents and the Greens are capturing that centre-left space and leaving very little space for the nasty bigoted party to try and encroach votes.
And the Liberal Party talks about this as though it is a problem of the electorate and not an ounce of considering that perhaps the views that they hold and purport deserve to be fringe
well,
views.
Well, and I think it was salient to hear Dutton say on Saturday night that Melbourne has always been a difficult market for us. I mean, the fact that they think it's a market as opposed to a community might be a problem. But also, again, to your point, Dave, it's Melbourne's problem that they have that the coalition has problems there, rather than the fact that, and in, you know, what will soon be the biggest city in the country, just fulsomely rejects them. Might mean a little bit of soul searching was in order.
Yeah, no, you'd think so. And, like, I mean, just for a little bit more data, like, the Liberal Party currently holds 14 urban seats in Australia at a federal level. Costa Samaras, former Deputy Victorian Labor Party, has put some interesting data about this. It's even worse than that, though, because if you remove seats that are part urban and part semi-rural, it's only 8
seats. And that's out of how many,
federally.
Dave? Do you
Greens and Teals combined. Oh, this is in the lower house. This is, what is it?
No, but how many of the 150-odd seats are classified as urban?
I actually don't have that, but it is well, to compare it, is the Greens and Teals collectively hold 12.
Yeah, right.
What I can tell you is that they hold 0 seats that have harbour views
which
is, I think, what they would most measure. Yeah. That would be the key metric, wouldn't it?
I think it would be. It goes to our point kind of from last week, is that they hold none of these major erstwhile blue ribbon seats formerly held by prime ministers, treasurers, all of that. They hold none of them at all. And then there's a whole other swathe that they used to hold very comfortably that are now on a knife edge, and as with Aston, may fall if ever there's a by-election. And interestingly, there are now rumours abounding that Morrison will leave Parliament sometime after the budget because he's managed to secure a job overseas. Now, I would give any money to know who the poor sod is that has put up their hand to employ.
It's a bank,
well,
isn't it?
Well, I reckon it's going to be one of those crazy kind of CPAC sort of organisations. It's apparently American, and I think it will be kind of Trumpian, you know, Mike Pompeo-esque.
TV preacher? They love them over there.
I've got some tea on his attempt to become a TV preacher.
Oh, yeah?
Which is because he tried that shortly after the election.
Yes, he did.
That was his trajectory. Was I'll go across to the US and I'll, because you get $250,000 per gig.
Yeah.
On those mega churches circuit, and he did the circuit, and they, you know, got a bit of money, but he wasn't quite good enough. Like, to actually be a charismatic preacher in the US,
you have to be charismatic.
You have to be really good. Like, you know, you've got to have the X factor. And they sort of like him as a, because he's got a title of, you know, oh yeah, we'll roll him out as an ex-prime minister occasionally, but he's never going to make it in that sort of, oh, he's got the X factor, he can actually have a second career as a preacher.
Well, that makes sense because he really doesn't have the X factor.
No.
And whenever he would just start talking and those avalanches of words would just cascade unceasingly from his mouth, they really didn't make much sense. They were just filling the air in a way that would actually suffocate all listeners rather than inspire. So to me, that is unsurprising and yet still pleasing.
Anyway, he's irrelevant now. So we don't have to think about him anymore.
He is irrelevant, although I will just say that if he does step down and there is a by-election in Cook, like it would be hilarious if Simon Earle could come back after his near miss in Miranda and run
I think there will be geographical problems or geological problems, really, with the Simon Earle campaign, which is that I imagine that about 25 million Australians will flock to the electorate of Cook to try and hand out for Simon Earle. And it may actually tilt Australia slightly.
And we will go sliding into the vast
beach in Cronulla.
You know, Cronulla Beach. But, Dave, you're right.
It'll cause a race riot.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant for the time being. And from what we could glean from Dutton's speech on Saturday night and then his interview with Spears on Sunday morning, they have learned nothing. They continue to learn nothing despite the flogging that they get at every single electoral outing.
It is remarkable, and I think part of that is because in their right ear they have blathering idiots on Sky News telling them that they're too woke, and that's clearly not true, but it is confusing when you're getting pulled from every which way direction.
Does this mean that Sky News is in some ways a force for good in the world?
The other thing that, like, I do think we need to...
Because it's making the Liberal Party unelectable?
Indirectly and not deliberately, definitely, definitely not deliberately, but by default sort of, yes. Just because they're like, utterly deranged.
You know how the CIA in the 1940s, the CIA in the 1940s published a manual about how to sort of sabotage organisations. Like, and the whole idea was you'd go into the organisation and ask for the minutes to be read from the last meeting and then pick up a little detail from the last meeting and then
run with it.
And just slow down. And so that's what they would do. They'd send in saboteurs into all these left-wing organisations to sort of slow
them
down.
So they would just fill them with ennui such that they couldn't contemplate another meeting reading out, like, the minutes and the results of the Lamington Drive.
I wonder whether Sky News is playing the same role with the Liberal Party, that they're actually a sort of, you know, deep plot.
It would be...
A CIA plant?
It would be nice to think that they were, and can we just express parenthetically our sympathy to Rupert Murdoch for the demise of his last engagement lasted all of 2 weeks.
Do we have to?
I just wonder why you would bother announcing an engagement and then, you know, 2 weeks later you have to ignominiously admit that it's already failed. Like, the life cycle of Murdoch's relationships are getting shorter.
I think the announcement was like a Band-Aid thing. It's like he can see it's on the rocks. Yeah. Maybe if I make a big song and dance about it publicly.
It's like a relationship, baby. Like, it's a relationship engagement announcement to try and, you know, hold on.
Yeah. A relationship media, baby.
Can I pitch to you the idea that if we're going to take a step back and sort of look at the political parties and go, well, actually, you know, the reason why the Liberal Party is failing is because it's shit, right?
Yeah. Like,
that is the thesis of my article, yes.
Yeah. That actually we also need to do the same thing about the relationship between the Greens and the Labor Party, because I actually had this epiphany over the weekend that I'm not sure that the political spectrum is in the correct order at the moment. If you look at what the Greens have been talking about in the last few years, but especially in the last few weeks – they're on about renters' rights and housing affordability and climate change.
Yeah.
Now, that is the absolute political centre of Australian politics. That is not a sort of left-right, Cold War, you know, workers versus bosses.
Well, it shouldn't be, but we have politicized science to a degree that, you know, saying reality is reality is considered a left-wing thing in this country but I don't think that should be politically neutral.
The 85% of people who think that more should be done about climate change, they're not all fringe-dwelling left-wingers. They're people who are generally also the sorts of people who don't want their rents to rise above CPI and be gouged by vicious landlords.
But they also happen
to be now 29% of people who happen to be perennial renters rather than owners, right? And they're not, you know, like if you look at the political spectrum, like let's have a look at what's happening to the ALP in terms of their attitude towards climate change. Their attitude is, okay, what we'll do is we'll use the Greens as a flank to our left to be able to not do anything about it. But the reason why they need to not do anything about it is because there are a whole lot of fossil fuel unions like the CFMEU Mining and the AWU who are holding them back from actually doing what the political centre, the 85% of people who want to do something more about climate change, are wanting to happen. So you have a sort of union-driven from the left flank of anti-climate change.
It's not just sort of union-driven; it's big business and billionaire-driven as well.
Yeah, I mean,
and big, you know, absolutely. It's a corporatist. Absolutely, totally. Yes, you're right. There's a corporatist sort of thing, but it is not. They are not centrist positions. Like actually, the Greens should be redefining themselves as the adults in the room.
Well, I think that's exactly what the Greens are trying to redefine themselves as. But are you arguing that climate denial can also be a left-wing position?
I can assure you that that is how the CFMEU Mining Division has run itself with aplomb over the last 15 years. Their whole attitude is to sort of make it into this sort of
woke latte
dwelling inner city greenies are wanting to, you know, stop us from making lots of money because we're actually the true.
I think that probably speaks though to the lack of utility around left and right generally, because CFMEU whinging about woke to me isn't progressive. You know, I wouldn't describe that as
it's also
left, if they come from the left wing of the Labor Party.
But also the Greens voters that I know, they're all rich Tesla driving marketing executives for Telstra who try and sell you some plan that doesn't work.
Well, I think that's Guy Rundle's point, as he's been going around for crikey and kind of interviewing various and going deep into various seats through different elections, is that where it used to be the Greens would all be the hippy dippies, now they are exactly that. They are the Tesla driving kind of carbon credit kind of, you know, developing startup. They're actually very competent and very committed.
At some point in the last 10 years, the Greens were sort of representing – they went from representing trees and koalas, and they realised, oh, hang on, trees and koalas
do not vote.
And they started representing people who have to pay rent and just want a good life for their family. And that is a fucking centrist position. And if you look at the history of – radical centre political parties who actually then have proper social democratic reforms, they all come out of housing affordability movements. Like that is an absolute political strategy. Look at Barcelona, En Comú, you know, like the last 10 years, the entire politics of Spain has been reformed, not from the fringe left, but from the fact that they set up renters' strikes in Barcelona and then took over the national government. And the socialists were on one side of the spectrum, the nationalists were on the right, and they were in the centre.
It's an immoral act to hire an Airbnb in Spain.
Let's not tarnish the Greens too much with this badge of reasonable centrism. They're still very much in favour of us all having like good ecstasy pills and that sort of stuff.
Most families and most...
So you're saying the whole political spectrum, the way we talk about it, is just completely completely irrelevant.
You've
to
just
today's
been brainwashed
reality.
By Rupert Murdoch into thinking that drug trials are some sort of fringe left-wing thing. Most parents, I'm a sort of middle-of-the-road parent who just wants their children to not die of drug overdoses. That's a fucking centrist thing to think.
Well, it is. And most parents these days were of an age where we all took drugs when we went to dance parties. And so now we understand that's actually a worthy and fun thing to do.
That's not a generational thing, Joe. Not a generational thing. It's a perpetual human thing.
No, well, it is. But I guess that it for those of us who were on the first wave of ecstasy use then our kids are coming to the age when they are going to want to, you know, surf that whatever the equivalent wave is, which I'm advised is now not pills at all. But
it won't
you know,
be ketamine or something.
Yeah. Well, that's more diving into the hole. And I don't know that like that's quite the equivalent. But anyway, all the teenagers are now taking those drugs.
It's doing the TikTok. It's probably
doing the TikTok.
Yeah, or something. But
no, he's so embarrassing, Charles. God.
I'm not even sure if he means actually doing TikToks or taking some drug, which is now got a code name of TikTok, which could be very confusing.
All right, Gen Xers, calm down. Far out. I need Grace back on this show. This is tough.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Dave, just think about Canberra.
Do I have to?
But it's like the most boring place in the world. They've got drug trials. Like it's not a fringe thing.
And they've decriminalised marijuana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But then if we're talking about this alignment, I mean, Victoria has too, by the way. I know that from personal experience. If you're talking about this alignment then, are you saying that if the Greens are bang right in the centre, and I think you've proven that case with some of these examples, we then need to say the Liberal Party's off to the far right in wacko land. The Labor Party is also off to the right.
No, I think this is the mistake
issue.
From the people I know in the Labor Party, they use the fact that the Greens are to the left of them. Like essentially the Labor left is now in charge of the country, right? Like Anthony Albanese, staunch member of the socialist left of the New South Wales politics.
Yeah, but what does that mean? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so what they do is they use the Greens as this, they're further left than us punching bag and go, well, and they define themselves essentially in opposition to, well, we'll just line up with the Libs or to the right of the Greens and inhabit the sensible centre, and the Greens can take all the sort of flank of the left. Whereas I think if the Greens actually did a proper sort of repositioning of themselves where they went, no, we're in the centre, you two are off to the sides, and the Greens then allowed themselves to talk about some of the very structural problems that the Labor Party has about, you know, the union movement. I mean, I love unions. I'm in my union and everything like that. But the union movement really does hold back a lot of climate change policies in this country in the name of, we need manufacturing, we need aluminium plants,
I think we're just disputing whether or not that would be defined as left.
Well, I think
just because the Labor Party factions call it socialist unions, left position doesn't mean.
But unions, our tradition, like in terms of, a Cold War split.
Sure.
Definition of left and right. Yes, that is. That's to the left of the Greens. The Greens are the sort of like just soaking up.
Yeah, but I'm not sure those definitions are actually of much value to us. in this day and
age. Yeah, I feel like
but this that's is just more, a label more akin to that they have.
Isn't this more akin to what we're talking about at the start with the Liberal Party? And it's not really about where they sit on a spectrum. It's about whether this is bullshit or not, whether this is terrible or not.
Yeah.
Like, why does it matter in what order we've put them in? We're talking about reality, catching up to decades of denying reality. But it politically,
because what I think the Greens allow themselves to do is to sort of be positioned as this fringe-dwelling sort of thing, when they're actually they should be the people who are sort of proposing to both sides of politics, oh, well, this is what should happen with housing, happen with climate change, and building coalitions out from both sides of politics out of those
you're putting an awful policies. Lot of emphasis you're putting an awful lot of emphasis on a support. Minor party that doesn't have any allies in the media to do all this work on behalf of the government. I think they are building
electoral support. They may not be building kind of coalitions within the parliament as yet, although they are now the effective opposition. When it comes to, because the coalition is just dealing themselves out of the discussion, now the actual meaningful discussion around what is going to happen in our country is happening between Labor and the Greens. And it will continue to do so whilst the Liberal Party continue to live in their world of denial, that it's the people who've got the problem and not them and their policies. I mean, it is kind of hilarious, and I think it's probably the only time I have agreed with Phil Khoury, is when they are canvassing as to who might replace Peter Dutton. Susan Ley, nah, says Khoury. Angus Taylor, nah, says Khoury. I mean, they're really the only two names at the moment. Personally, I think like it could well be that by the time we reach the next election, they've had to undergo generational change, and we could have mad, starry-eyed Andrew Hastie leading the ship at that point. But if Susan Ley and Angus Taylor are the only two alternatives being proposed, then it's not surprising that the Liberal Party are in the dire straits that they're in. They just have no talent whatsoever. I mean, the fact that Dutton's even leading them is kind of hilarious. I mean, I think we're so now inured to it that we've forgotten that actually Dutton as a potential prime minister is never going to happen. And so maybe like Sky News, it's the concept was kind of CIA's plot.
Dutton's point about the voice, asking for more details, it's very similar to what he does on absolutely everything. It's a stalling tactic disguised as being reasonable, and that becomes even less plausible when we see scenes like we saw this week where they're struggling to leave the chamber in order to avoid a vote on the referendum. That does not look like you are in good faith looking for more detail. It looks like you have your fingers in the ears and you're running from the scene of the crime. It baffles the mind. Of course they don't have talent. What sensible, attractive, charismatic, funny person would see that and go, yeah, I want a part of that.
I want to be a part of that. But no, look, it is. And in the meantime, you know, one of the most conservative seats in the country, Western Australia's polling is showing 60% in favour of the voice. So, you know, they are just not reflecting at all what the majority will of the Australian people is. And long may that last, we may say. But it does mean that let's all watch the Brisbane City Council elections pretty closely, because that is apparently where they soon may – well, that is their most senior – the mayor, Lord Mayor of Brisbane, is the most senior Liberal politician holding power on the mainland.
That's going to be a barnstormer. I can't wait for that one.
Have we exhausted have we plumbed the depths of the Liberal Party? Seemingly they have not, but have we ourselves?
They still could go lower. I think that's definitely on the cards. They're getting pressure to become worse and ragey and, you know, get on the culture war train from Sky News. And, again, I think it's going to fall flat in Australia, largely because of our voting system. Those issues work incredibly well in America because they rile you up to the point that you go vote. That's just not a factor in the way Australia votes. We all have to vote anyway. The crazy people are going to vote anyway. And all that stuff does is that it turns off the 80% of very sensible people.
Now, one thing that was actually quite interesting that came out today on Anthony Green's blog is the seats that would have changed hands, the results would have been different if New South Wales didn't have optional preferential voting.
Yes. And there were four.
Yeah, there were. And it was, hardly surprising. It was two of the independents that would have fallen, Pittwater and Willoughby, I believe, and Ryde, I think, would have gone to Labor.
Yes, so optional preferential really does advantage the Libs at this point.
Yeah.
And full preferential doesn't.
I'm surprised that, you know, when there aren't that many candidates actually standing. I mean, sure, like I understand these days. I used to be one of those people who would stand and fill in every box on the New South Wales Legislative Council as well. Absolutely. And, you know, I would start with the people that I liked the most, and then I would go when I was sort of, you know, 20, 25, maybe 30 in, I would start with the people that I hated the most and kind of worked up. And then there was always that kind of random bit which you weren't sure if you were putting above someone that you liked, someone that was actually a real cooker and you just had never heard of them. And so, you know, but if you'd run through the number of seats that there were in the Legislative Council and were confident that whatever happens, your vote would have been exhausted by then, it was, you know, it was sort of a fun exercise, but in some futility, it would have to be said. But when it comes to the lower house, I mean, at most there's what, like seven or eight, and in some senses sort of three or four. Like I can't see why you wouldn't just want for your own sake to make sure that you'd registered, that your vote wasn't going to be exhausted and thrown out at some point if your top two didn't make it. But, you know, that's just me. So clearly we're more obsessive about filling in our preferences than a lot of other people, but that's the way it is.
Yes.
And I don't see that there'll be any major change to our voting system here in New South Wales anytime soon. Let's hope there is some major change to the voting system in the UK and that Labor, if they get elected for their once in a million years chance in government, don't blow it and change the system so it's not such a gerrymander. But that conversation is probably for another time.
Yes.
We may wrap up now. We've lost Dave. We're not sure if that's his internet, our internet, or just generally he got bored. Yeah, he was just like, enough already.
It's his ADHD.
So at that point, we will say thank you for listening and we will be back next week.
Yeah, yeah. Our Guru's from Road, we're part of the Iconoclast Network. Catch you next week.
See you later.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.